You have any question, please feel free and ask. We must not leave anybody confused. Yes? Give me a microphone there, please. Let him ask me from there.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you, sir.
I just want to satisfy my curiosity. Because the Bible does not misuse words. If a man lie with a woman, the Bible will tell you he lay with her. Or he went into her. But when it came to the book of Genesis, they ate the fruit. So, these two area is kind of it still disturbs me, you know, because if you look at when the angels came to visit Lot, and those people were saying they wanted to have a kind of affair with the angels, it was spelled out. When the children of Lot made their father drunk, he lay with them, or they lay with him. But in the Garden of Eden, it was not like that. It was they ate the fruit with. So I wanted you to clear should I call it the misuse of words, or I not understanding what that.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Do you also know? No, sorry. But you look like a very good Bible student, so we can flow very easily. Because me too, I studied the Bible. Now, do you remember the usage of this terminology in the Bible, uncovering your father's nakedness?
Yes.
What does it mean?
When their father got drunk.
What does the Bible mean by saying you uncover your father's nakedness?
To uncover the father's nakedness is to lay with the father's wife.
Thank you. You understand now?
Yes.
So it means there are different terminologies that can be used to mean the same thing, including eating.
If you say so. Praise the Lord.
It is another language.
Okay.
It conveys the same thing. But listen, brother. Amen. I came across this doctrine in 1990. And it was very controversial. In fact, believers of this doctrine hardly, you know, go out. They just limit it to the local church. Because when they go out there, they are confronted fiercely by the denominational people. And I got interested, and I asked a question when an American evangelist came, you know, to visit me, 1991. I was going around the prisons all over the country. And so he came, and we were going around together, and I had to ask him, this doctrine of the serpent seed, what is the importance? Why must I know what happened in the Garden of Eden? And he answered me and said, that is why you must be born again. It's because of what happened in the Garden of Eden. And I told him, I said, so, if I believe in the doctrine that I must be born again before I can see the kingdom, I don't need the doctrine of the serpent seed, isn't it? He said, yes. I said, so, there's no need for us to go into any argument concerning the serpent seed doctrine. Since the revelation is only to let me know why I must be born again. But the truth is that if I know why I must be born again, it will help me to know exactly what happened in the Garden of Eden. The Bible said that I am the Lord. Malachi, I am the Lord. Chapter 3, he said, I change it not. What God hates yesterday, he will still hate it today. What happened in the Garden of Eden that made the glory of God to depart from man? If you still do it today, the glory will leave. So if it is a fruit that they ate, I will be interested to know which fruit they ate, so that when I see the fruit now, I will not eat it again. Amen. That's why I'm interested to know what they ate. Because God doesn't change. And I discovered that the fruit that they ate that time is still being eaten now. And as God hates it that time, he still hates it now. Then they chop on. Some people even chop on and they sit down here now. It's fornication. Sex for pleasure. That is what happened in the Garden of Eden. And I have proved it for you. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
God bless you. Yes, any sister wants to ask a question? Okay, next person. Go on.
Pastor, good evening.
God bless you, sir.
I've been following your teaching for some time now because where I'm coming from, women have been made deaconess and they have branches all over the whole place. But from your teaching, I've been following it. I found out that you are trying to paint a picture, or would I rather say, you are trying to say that the Bride Assembly is different from other Pentecostal church. So I want to know in what way.
No, your question does not connect.
No. What I'm trying to say is this.
Yes.
I've been following your teaching. I found out that you are trying to say that the Bride Assembly is different from other Pentecostal church.
Okay.
So I want to know in what way.
Okay. I started as the musicians finished giving their special number by telling you that we are a product of a jubilee. The jubilee sound that called the people out of denominational errors. That is what makes us different. We are not a denomination. And what is a denomination? A denomination is the attempt of man to organize the Church of Jesus Christ under the leadership of man rather than the Holy Ghost. Do you understand?
I'm hearing
the attempt of man to organize the Church of Jesus Christ under the leadership of man rather than the leadership of the Holy Ghost. And we get to know, for instance, that the Holy Ghost is the general overseer of the Church of Jesus Christ. But now we have churches that human beings are the general overseers. You discover that they have what they call articles of faith. Every denomination has her article of faith. This is what we believe. We believe in this. We believe in this. We believe. I have read the article of faith of some of the denominations out of curiosity to buttress what we stand for. And I saw in one of them where they say we believe that in three personalities of Godhead: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And we believe this, and we believe this, and we believe this, and we believe this. Now, no other constitution or article of faith does any church have, or should any church have, other than the Bible. Anything else other than this Bible that you stand for, hallelujah, is no longer the Church of Jesus Christ. And it is the interpretation of that article of faith that produces whatever you see. For instance, the ordination of women pastors. It is because the Church of Jesus Christ have been so taken over by carnal interpretations, and now church has become family business, where a man and his wife now own a church. And you can see the succession plan, going on so that when the man died, the wife takes over. If the wife died, the son will take over and things like that. Now, and then they build around themselves and they have headquarters. Amen. They have headquarters and they have branches everywhere. Identification of the denomination. They have branches all over with headquarters, and it is the headquarters that dictates to the branches what they should preach and what they should not preach, their boundaries. And the pastors are raised and produced from the headquarters and posted, and then they are posting up and down. And then hierarchies are developed where you can be promoted from ordinary pastor to another level, to reverend, then to senior reverend, and then to archbishop, bishop, until you reach a Dahosa, became professor. Praise the Lord. Now those are the identifications. But the Church of Jesus Christ, the headquarters is in heaven. And the general overseer is the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so, we are not a denomination. That is what makes us different from the denominations. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, who else? Let's hear you.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank you, sir. Sir, I'd like to ask a question on serpent seed. You know, it has been bugging up my mind. Because if you use the word seed, it means biological byproduct of a man.
Yes.
For instance, I am a biological byproduct of my father. I am a seed of my father. Now, Cain, you have proven it beyond every reasonable doubt. And I agree with you in toto that Cain was the seed of serpent. And Cain had his children generations. And all of them, therefore, are serpent seed. We are serpent seeds. But they ended with the flood. Now, this present world was populated by a man, Noah, and his children. And the Bible was careful to say that Noah was a righteous man. And Noah was not a seed of the serpent biologically, just as Cain was biologically a seed of the serpent. Now, Noah was biologically a seed of Adam, a seed of God. And so all of us now on earth, if you trace it to Noah, are biological children of Adam, of God. Now, we commonly say that some people are serpent seed in this present world. Now, I've been thinking about it. When we say that someone now is a serpent seed, do we mean that that person is biologically a serpent seed? Because if we do, we would be wrong. Or do we mean that by behavior, the person is a serpent seed, because he or she behaves like a serpent? Remember my core problem here: biological seed. So I don't know if you can help to, you know, make it clearer.
I just want you to note something. Yeah, I agree with you that Noah was a pure seed, but his wife was not a pure seed.
Sure.
Therefore, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, from where all of us were populated, we are a mixture of human and animal seed together.
Sir. Is it proven that Noah's wife was not a seed of Adam, just as Noah?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
By their fruits, ye shall know them. The behavior of those children shows that there were traces of animal nature in them. So that lets us know. And remember that the Bible says that the whole world was corrupted because of the intermingling from Genesis chapter 6. But whatever it is, your question is, how do we identify a serpent seed? Now listen, when we use the word a serpent seed on anybody here, it is actually just an expression of his character. It is an expression of his character. I say this because in my teaching of the interpretation of the parable in Matthew chapter 13 of the wheat and the tares, there was something I brought out that the owner of that farm that had the farm corrupted with tares, when his servant said, should we go and remove the tares? The owner of the farm said, no, let's, when you want to remove the tares, you root up the wheat also. Why will he say? He said, leave them both to grow together till end time. The reason is that there is a thin line that separates in identification a tare from a wheat, because sometimes a genuine seed of God is corrupted by influence of a serpent seed by association. So he picks that influence and begins to act like them, and God knows who is who. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. So it is the character that identifies.
Okay, sir.
Because Jesus Christ himself said, by their fruits ye shall know them. He came to John chapter 8 and he looked at the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he told them, Matthew 23, and he told them that, you generation of vipers. He called them, you serpents. I was saying yesterday that in verse 15 of Genesis chapter 3, God caused the serpent and mentioned about the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent, and how that the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the seed of the woman, and the seed of the woman, the serpent seed, will bruise the heel of the seed of the woman. And I was saying that, when was that fulfilled? The seed of the woman, Galatians chapter 4 verse 4 says Jesus Christ is the seed of the woman. So Jesus, God was actually making reference to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And he was telling them that it is your seed, serpent, that will do it. And Jesus Christ looked at those who were looking for him to kill him. And he said, you do the deeds of your father. He was saying, and then what was he referring to? He said, you serpents, you generation of vipers.
Praise the Lord, church. Pastor, I honestly want you to help me.
You know, the first day that sister came here, she was challenging me here. Now the thing don't catch up. The first day she came here to fire me question, because she thinks she know Bible. When her eyes opened, she went back to her Jew and faced her Jew. Praise the Lord. That is what it does when your eyes are open. The eyes that denomination have closed for all this while. Praise the Lord. Let me hear you, sister.
I believe that after hearing you this night, maybe my eyes will open too.
Thank you.
I will go and face my own venerable. Hey. Not only G.O.
Veneral.
Pastor, please, I want you to help me to help my brother in America, because 2 days ago, I engaged in a very serious Bible, it's not just conversation, not only debates. He said, there are so many things he doesn't like about your teachings, that you are so hard in your, that you are too judgmental, and the way he put it and all that. So, because I was trying to tell him to lure him into this program so that he can queue on and log on to YouTube, yes, or this thing and join us. So he now started with this thing. He said I should go and ask my pastor what he has to say concerning this issue of a woman should not preach, or maybe be in charge of a ministry, or serve authority since what we are going to do now is gift. He now said, after this thing, and God gave me the gift to preach because I'm in Bride Assembly, I should go and sit down on my chair. He now said, because since my pastor is preaching against it, I should now ask my pastor that what he has to say. I should give you the testimony of my friend. I have a pastor friend from Australia that has been preaching the gospel from country to country, and recently, last month, she was beaten to death in India. And after 4 days in mortuary, they have fixed the burial. They are about to bury her tomorrow. She just woke up and walked out of the mortuary. And I'm even planning to, because she said that what she asked the Lord is to help her, that the only country she has not visited is Nigeria, that she has actually pleaded that the Lord should take her back so that she can visit Nigeria. She wants to see me. She wants to see my church. She wants to see my family. So I'm even planning that she will come here. But the question my brother Chid is asking, since Nat has woken up and from the dead and is planning to come to Nigeria, are you going to bring her in Bride Assembly since she's a preacher? Since will she not, be condemned and all that? Since a woman should not usurp authority and all. I pray that she is watching so that pastor will answer this question.
Even if he doesn't watch, get this tape so that, and send it to him.
Okay.
Now, listen, Chidi, wherever you are. Hallelujah! Blessed be the name of the Lord. Get another message that I preach that I title The Perfect Will of God and the Permissive Will of God. There is God's perfect will and there is God's permissive will. And so many people are walking in God's permissive will and they are thinking that they are in the perfect will of God because of the result they are having, including that woman that died and woke up in India. Praise the Lord. William Branham preached a message that he titled Doing God a Service Without Being His Will. Praise the Lord. And the problem with us here, a lot of us, is that we look at the anointing as approval of a ministry. Amen. Praise the Lord. No. Listen. Every ministry is supposed to be commissioned from above. And every country, for instance, has her constitution that gives us boundaries within the freedom you have as a citizen of that country. And the leaders derive their power of leadership from the constitution. And it is that same constitution that will guide them. If they go outside that constitution, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In exercising their duty, the same constitution also created the courts of law, where you can take that person and use that same constitution from where he derived his power to let him know that still, according to this constitution, you have gone outside the constitution. So that he can line you up. The Bible is our constitution. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are free citizens in Christ Jesus. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free, male nor female. Galatians says so. Paul says so. But within that freedom, that there is, you know, we are all free, male or female. The same Apostle Paul that had that depth of that revelation came again in leadership in the church. He decided to set the church in order. And he said that it is not permitted for a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority. Now, with due respect to my sister sitting down here, with due respect to you, you know, you came to me in the office some moments ago, and I saw your pictures of the wonderful ministry you have.
Yes.
And she's a pastor, going up and down, has a very serious ministry. And we needed to talk. Yes. And I told you we will see next week.
Yes.
Now, these are some of the things I will be sharing with you next week.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, it is not downgrading womanhood. It is not trying to make man superior to the woman. No. God, in his infinite wisdom, he created the male first. And when it comes to even the identification of God, God the Creator is not a she. He is a he. Do you understand? Do you understand? And all the angels that God has been using, I did not see a she. They are all he. Hallelujah. And when he said, let us make man in our image, he did not create the male and the female at the same time. He created the man, the he, first. It is the he that is in the image of God. And Apostle Paul came in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and said, the head of the woman is the man. Now, if the head of the woman, hallelujah, is the man, listen, wouldn't it look odd that a subordinate is given instruction to a superior? Now, Apostle Paul said, hallelujah, and the head of the man is Christ. And the head of Christ is who? God. And that is the order. Which man will stand and give instruction to Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. Listen, I think it's Numbers chapter 30. In the ordinance, the authority that the man even has over the woman. If a woman makes a vow and did not tell the man, but somehow the man got to know that you made a vow between you and God, the man has been given the power, if he does not want it, to annul it. And it will stand in heaven. Because he becomes God to the woman. The power was given to you. You can cancel the vow. And if you bypass it, saying a lie, I will not listen to you, obey my God. I made my vow between me and my God. You cannot stop me. And you take it to God, God will reject it. Because the man has counseled it.
That is in marriage, daddy. You are trying to, I'm saying,
a woman inside the church. You are talking about, you are bringing it.
No. Hallelujah. No, you are saying I'm going too far. I'm trying to tell you, see, Apostle Paul, when he talks about woman hair covering, he went to nature. He said, does not evil nature teach you? I am giving you examples before we come to the church. Does not even these examples I'm telling you let you know the position of the man? Okay, I'll go further. Even in your village. Even in your village, in African traditional setting, where men gather, women they come there. Praise the Lord. Now, sisters, catch it. Understand it. Understand this thing. Church. Second, 1 Timothy chapter 2. Read it again. Read it from verse 11. Read it.
Let the woman learn in silence.
Let the woman learn what?
In silence.
Learn what? Learn sociology. Learn what? Answer. Learn what?
Word of God.
Learn the word of God in silence. Uh-huh.
With all subjection.
With what? What is the meaning of subjection?
Humility.
Humility before a superior is called subjection. You don't talk of subjection until there is the presence of a superior. Praise God. Learn in subjection. Uh-huh. Read on.
But I suffer not a woman to teach.
I permit not a woman to teach in Ijesha Grammar School. To teach where? Sister, answer. To teach where?
In the church, sir.
In the church. Uh-huh.
Not to usurp authority over the man.
Uh-huh. Not to usurp authority over the man. Uh-huh.
But to be in silence.
Uh-huh.
For Adam was first formed.
Uh-huh.
Then Eve.
Uh-huh.
And Adam was not deceived.
Uh-huh.
But the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression.
Uh-huh.
Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing.
Now, see. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, chapter 12, chapter 13, and chapter 14 is Apostle Paul giving us a church order. When we come together like this as a church, how we are to comport ourselves and how we are to behave in the church of Jesus Christ. And he gave in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he gave this order of seniority, and then he went to how we should take the communion. And then he went to chapter 12, how we should operate the gifts, to identify the operations of the gift and the manifestations of the gift. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, how we should operate these gifts in love. And 1 Corinthians chapter 14 also, how these gifts should be operated, particularly the gift of speaking in tongue and the gift of prophecy. The whole chapter 14, that is how we are supposed to operate it. And in chapter 14, this is what Apostle Paul said in verse 36. Amen. It was hard writing on the wall. It was a star.
Once you are stopped, forever you are stopped. Everything we receive from God is by faith.
Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord.
Spirit of delusion.
They told you it doesn't matter. It matters. There is yet another day that is His mercy is still available.
The trials of a Christian.
Christians face trials.
The God of this world cannot be our God, because we are in this world but not of this world.
Hallelujah. In verse 34. Let me read it from verse 34. Verse 33 says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also said the Lord. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that are right unto you are the commandments of Apostle Paul." They are the commandments of who? They are the commandments of the Lord. And he added, "Chidi, listen to me." He said in verse 38, "But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant." See, let me tell you. Now let's reason again. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Apostle Paul says that he gave two reasons why the woman cannot occupy position of authority where there are men. He said, number one, the man is her senior in creation. And secondly, he went back to the Garden of Eden and said that it was the woman that brought the fall. And if you understand the presentation in that verse, what he's saying is that what took the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross on Calvary that has necessitated all the redemption process that is going on, the word of God was committed to Adam and Eve, but it was the woman that messed it up. And now that same word has come to restore us back to the Garden of Eden, he took it away from the woman so that she will not mess it up a second time. That is what Apostle Paul is explaining. Let me go a little further. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Watch it. In the whole lineage of kings, rulers, the monarchies in Israel, there was no woman that was a king or a queen. Or is it king? What do you call it? King now. In the monarchy. There was nothing like that. Secondly, they go to the land of promise. And the land of promise was divided among all the 12 tribes. But God reserved one tribe, the tribe of Levi, that their own is to be ministering in the temple. Therefore, they had no land, and that's why the people must bring tithe, because it is from their offerings and tithe that the Levites will feed from. Now, but in all the priests that came out of the loins and the family of Levi, there was no one single woman that was a priest in the temple. It is not coincidence. They knew better. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now Jesus Christ came with grace. He was going to select 12 disciples. He did not include one single woman among the 12. Now, he was close to some women, Martha, Mary, and even his mother. They were close. But when he died, the apostles did not select one of those sisters. When Judas went, they did not select one of those close women to Jesus Christ to replace Judas. They still selected another man. Praise the Lord. Leadership of the church. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 3. "He that desired the office of a bishop desired a good thing. But see the condition." And he came, he said, "A bishop must be a husband of one wife." It means a bishop will have to be a man. A deacon also, if you read it from verse 8, he also said, a deacon must be the husband of one wife. Nothing like deaconess. There are positions of leadership in the church. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now listen. Praise the Lord. Now listen. I hope there is time to say this for Chidi to hear. Chidi, you go to America and you don't know that America is spiritually dead. Amen. America is full of human rights and freedoms, and they are telling you because there is hate law that is being instituted in the Western world. The hate law there is that you must not say anything that will make somebody hate someone. And Christians are saying all other religions are of the devil. We know where that law is heading for. Therefore, if you are in America, they can carry you to court. If you go and preach and say, Guru Maharaj is of the devil, they will say you are preaching hatred. And they will take you to court and close your church. And then, now, that's exactly what is going on there. Now there is freedom. He said you are being judgmental. Why? Because God is love. God is love. Stop speaking about hell. Just wait and say, God is good, God is good, God is good. And is that not all the messages the preachers from America preach? So those are the sermons that have entered Chidi's head. Now he's hearing. Is he hearing one black man speaking? Because even the Nigerian preachers, inferiority complex has made them to imbibe the same spirit that is going on there. But we are of a different breed. We are eagles, not chickens. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let me give you one example, Chidi. You know, not be you are they talk to, not Chidi are they talk to. Chidi, Moses was asked in the wilderness. The people were tested. Moses went to the Lord in prayer. And God told him, showed him a rock that appeared. Go and strike the rock, and water will come out. Moses went as the Lord spoke and struck the rock. Water came out. There was revival. People drank. After some time again, the same condition arose and the people pressured Moses. Moses went before the Lord again in prayer. This time God said, see the rock again. Go and speak to the rock. Water will come out. Moses went to that rock out of anger. What did God say he should do? But what did he do? He struck the rock. He did the wrong thing. But the water came out. And the people drank. And there was revival. Revival. But he did the wrong thing. The Bible said, speak, but he struck. The water came out. But while the people were having revival, death sentence was on Moses. You see what I'm saying now? Woman pastor, testimony is following you. Yes, but you are outside the will of God. Come, Chidi. Can I give you one more? Listen. Hallelujah. Listen. Just one more. King Balak and hired a prophet, Balaam, to come and curse Israel. They came with gifts. When the guy saw the gifts, he said, "Chai, but let me go and inquire." He went praying all night. And the Lord came and said, "They are my people. They are blessed. You can't curse whom I have blessed." That is God's perfect will. But Balak came back a second time with more gifts. Balaam saw the gifts. Decided to enter again. God, talk again now. Talk what again? God is saying, "Whom I have blessed, you cannot curse." That is God's perfect will. But he troubled God, so that God will rest. He said, "Okay, Balaam, you can go." "Hey, I can go." He said, "Yes, you can go." In the morning, he got himself his vehicle. If you ask Balaam, "Prophet Balaam, where did they go?" What will he tell you? "God say." So, any woman pastor that said, "It was God that told me," she is not lying. It is God that said. God said. "I had it last night. I had it." Hallelujah. "I was on the mountain. He came down. White glory filled everywhere. I fell down." He said, "Even gave me the name of the ministry." And you don't know that it is already written in the Bible. A woman is not to be part of the leadership of the church. You saw it. But like Balaam, you know the reason why you are disturbing him. And since God, so that you go leave him. He said, "Oh yeah, go ahead. But at the end, an angel was waiting for Balaam with sword to cut off his head. And it was God that said go. But it is God's angel again waiting to finish him. Pastor, do you mean all these mighty women of God? You mean they are outside the will of God? You are looking at the anointing. I am looking at the word. They are outside the will of God. They are outside the perfect will of God. They are in the permissive will of God. And I'm telling you, there will be no reward for their service. Because God didn't send them to do what they are doing. I hope Chidi can hear me. Or you want me to give you another one again?
Daddy, are you saying they are not going to make heaven? No?
I didn't say they will not make heaven. The condition for going to heaven is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Listen, church. Listen. When I say woman, it is not only woman. I say perfect will of God. Concerning ministry, there are people that are pastors, men that are pastors, that God did not appoint them to be pastors. They are also in the same condition like a woman pastor. And when a prophet goes to be a pastor of a church, you have left your office to pastor and you are in the same condition like a woman pastor. Let a pastor be a pastor, a prophet be a prophet. Hallelujah. Every one of us to stay in God's perfect will. That's what we are saying. Amen. And now let me quickly tell you something, sister. Your question is very deep. And my answer too is very deep. I said that the only reason why you will go in the rapture is that you have the Holy Ghost. But remember that the evidence that you have the Holy Ghost is that it will lead you to all truth. Hallelujah. You can never have the Holy Ghost and go in error. Because the Holy Ghost in you wrote this Bible. And the day it is open to you, you see it, and you reject it, it is evidence you don't have the Holy Ghost. Thank you.
Maybe you will see Nat one on one when she comes to Nigeria.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
Pastor, is still on the serpent seed, please.
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Pastor, are Cain and Abel twins, or were they born separately?
It is not indicated whether they are twins, but we only know that they are from the same womb.
Okay, that is because there was a teaching you re-echoed. You said William Branham preached one in a million.
Yep.
So I was thinking you were the other time you were saying that the serpent introduced his own seed.
Yes.
And Adam introduced his own seed.
Yes.
Still in that womb.
Yes.
And I am getting confused. The science that could have made two conception right there at the same time in the same womb. So
Hallelujah.
I just want to know whether they were born separately or twins.
There is a medical terminology known as superfetation or mutation. Superfetation or mutation. It's a medical terminology, and I saw Dr. Ezra here today. You can confirm that it is possible that a woman that is in her ovulation, within that period where the eggs are released, waiting for a seed, you know, to receive a seed, and that within that period, you meet with two different men. You meet with two different men, and that they will deposit two different seeds in the same womb, and it will come out like twins. But, you know, for instance, we read it. I think I brought the paper here one time. I read it. Where a man in America, the wife gave birth to twins. You see? And they are all white men, man and woman. One was black, and one was Oyibo. And the Oyibo, they are honest. He said, man, woman, I don't know how this black came about. There's a mystery here. Amen. Hallelujah. And the woman confessed that 6 hours before the husband met her, she had met with her boyfriend that was one nigger. One black guy. And so she confessed. Even see his face, he resembled the guy. So it is possible. Medically possible.
But in this case, do we go it that way that they were twins or they were born separately?
No, I want to stay where the Bible stays.
Okay.
The Bible didn't call them twins. But we know that they were the first two children from the womb of that woman, Eve. And from certain indications, we can confirm that they were from two different fathers, but the same mama. And let me also tell you this. It is the mystery of iniquity. Amen. Yesterday, I didn't reach this area. It is the mystery of iniquity. You have to understand what happened in the Garden of Eden for you to understand the composition of the church. You see, that parable from verse 24 of Matthew 13 speaks about the wheat and the tares. But watch it, and it is speaking about the church of Jesus Christ. Now, you will notice that there is, in the Garden of Eden there, see the characters that are there. We have God. We have Adam. We have Eve on one side. We also have Satan. We have serpent. And we also have Eve. Okay? Now, Adam and God have an agenda. God has an agenda to be fulfilled through Adam, Adam's seed. He needed a bedding ground, a womb to fulfill it. He got a woman. Serpent, Satan also needed to fulfill an agenda using the serpent. But he also needed that same womb. So, Eve is the point of interest for God and Satan to fulfill their various agendas. You have to understand it. He says that the man went to his field and sowed good seed. He said, but while men slept, the enemy did not go to another farm, came to the same womb and planted tares, his own seed there. But when they both grow, the servants of the owner of the farm asked, not the good seed you sow, how come tares are now growing there? And he said, an enemy has done this. Should we go? Amen. And uproot the tares? He said, no. Lest when you're uprooting the tares, you uproot the wheat also. Let both grow until the end time, the harvest time. He said, and I will send my reapers. They will gather the tares one side to be burnt with fire, and gather the wheat to the barn. And people don't know that that is exactly about the church. The womb of Eve is the church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The Bible in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23, he said, we are born again by the incorruptible seed of the word of God. It is the word of God that you receive in the womb of your mind that got you born again. While Peter yet spake the word, the Holy Ghost came down. You are born again by the word of God. You don't get born again by anybody laying hand on you. Anybody broke, poof, you fall down, you can never be born again. It is the word of God you receive. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the word of God is referred to as a seed. And that word was planted in the first church age, in the Acts of Apostles. Hallelujah. And the church began. But after some time, the church was pure. Liars could not stand and give testimony. And Ananias and Sapphira, Acts chapter 5. They gave lying testimony. They died. But after those early apostles died, Satan again, amen, came. Oh, so that you'll understand. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So if you see, stand up and read it. You see, Paul was revelated. Watch the language he used. Yes, stand up and read it. You see, give
praise the Lord.
Yes. Read it from verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 11.
Praise the Lord. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy.
Now listen very well.
For I have espoused you to one husband.
He has espoused you to one husband. Listen to the terminologies that he's using. You listen to the words he's using. Revelated Apostle Paul. I have espoused you. So he looks at the church as a bride that has been espoused to one husband. And that husband is who? Go on, read on.
For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you a chaste virgin.
A chaste virgin.
For I fear lest by any means,
yes,
as the serpent beguiled Eve.
So where did he go to now? He's going back to the Garden of Eden. So that's why I said the church is like, it's typed by Eve. Go on.
As the serpent beguiled Eve.
Go on now.
As serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety,
He beguiled him through his conny, intelligent, smart talk.
So your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ.
Go on.
For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus.
What the serpent tell him? Did God say, no, it doesn't matter. Go on.
Whom we have not preached. Or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, ye might as well bear with
me. Go to verse 13.
For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ.
That they are also ministers and that they are also apostles, but they are the ones that transform themselves. Yes?
And no marvel.
There's nothing surprising about it.
For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light.
Their own master, Satan, also transforms himself into an angel of light.
Therefore,
yes,
it is no great thing.
That is, it's not a great thing.
If he ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness.
If his own ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, it means Satan has ministers. And I preached a message that titled, The Serpent is Speaking. Church, listen. Serpent was a minister of Satan. And he came to interpret God's word to Eve. It doesn't matter. You will not die. No. He did not know because Eve did not know the meaning of death. Until today, people don't know the meaning of death. Okay? What is the secret of death? First and foremost, before I tell you the meaning of death. The secret of death is to add to or subtract from the word of God brings death. And what is death? Death is separation from God. That is the meaning of death. You are a dead man if you are cut off from God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, no, you will not die. They began to explain, die. Okay, after you chop and finish, you die? Did you die? He said, you won't die. You can't die. Everything the carnal preachers see in the Bible is nothing but to give carnal interpretation to the things that pertain to salvation. A great man of God, great in quote, popular, big pastor, Pentecostal pastor, that every Pentecostal man, pastor, wants to look like him. The most respected in the Pentecostal circle. Very rich. He's a songwriter. I was listening to him in about 2 minutes, 2 or 3 minutes before I came to the church this evening. on the television. And he went to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I mean, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I think it's verse 7, where he says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone to profit with her. And he was using it for prosperity. Ha! I was so angry. That scripture is not for prosperity. It's not for prosperity. It's not. It has nothing to do with prosperity. That is all they see. Carnal interpretation. Carnal. It doesn't matter. No. See, it is the Deuteronomy 22 verse 5 that a woman should not wear that which pertains to a man. The man is an abomination for a man to wear that which pertains to a woman. You see, listen. That word is pertaining. Now let me tell you the meaning of pertaining. Amen. Ministers of Satan. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Church, listen. You don't know why God brought you to this church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm a fisherman. You know the Pentecostals, when they say they catch a big fish, that means they don't catch one rich woman. Come, since last week, now this city is, you know. Nobody feel carry them from here. None of them is, you know, like every Friday, I hear you, they say, you know. How they arrange them? Okay. Praise the Lord. And they try to see which brother they sit around here always. But I've not been able to catch who they sit here in the same line always. Wait, when we start to dance, you go know. The two of them going to dance with. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That church that began clean, pure, Satan came and planted his own seed in the same church. And what? We have two spirits now operating in the church of Jesus Christ. The spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Amen. And like those servants, as true believers, anybody that studies this Bible, you will ask, if truly it is this Bible you are reading, and reading with your sense is correct, take your eyes away from this Bible. Look at the Christianity that we have today. If you are sincere with yourself, you will ask certain questions. You will ask, from what point did they start ordaining women? From what point did we become redeemed? Catholic assemblies and all the names that we bear. What happened? It was not like that from the beginning. Hallelujah. 12 people in a church. Jesus Christ with 12 people. Together with himself, 13. Yet, when the enemy wanted to come to that church to identify the leader, they needed one of those 12 to identify him. He was so much blended, humble among his members that you could not know who was that Jesus upon all the miracle signs and wonders. But these days, you don't need introduction before you will enter a church and know who is the pastor. Even by his cloth, you will know it. If you don't wear cloth, the seat that is arranged for him, like a king in his palace, you will see it. And nobody introduces the wife, you will see mommy. When did that start? what I'm talking about. Blessed be the name of the Lord. From one point, the church become family business. From what time did now ministers now count their success by the material acquisitions they have since they started ministry? When I started the ministry, I didn't have anything. Now, can't you see the kind of shoe I wear? Now, I have 4 cars. I have my own houses. Yes. They thought I would not make it. But now I have made it. Yes. Hallelujah. When has ministry reduced to that level? Something happened. The Bible started with one God. Where did it become three? Trinity. Oh, what is when they stand too much? When I help me stand. Me said they stand since. Try yesterday I stand. Now, you keep me stand with your question for long. When I help me stand. Sister, stand. No apology. Stand. Stand. Stand up for Jesus. Yes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you know there are some churches, if the Jew is not around, nobody goes near the altar? Do you know that some churches, the Jew has special microphone? Nobody touches it. If you travel, they carry cloth, cover the altar, put barrier. When did that start? Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The first church age, I say, liar, liar, liar. Tell lie in front, lie, lie testimony. The Holy Ghost will strike you. But now, not the only liars, fornicators. There are pastors that as they preach, their girlfriend they slept with last night, they for church, they say, lie the pastor. Right, the pastor. He's our church. I saw the text. I saw the text. One woman was getting too close to a pastor. And the wife became uncomfortable. He went and confronted her. She sent text. Go and find out who is Linda. That's her name. He said, I am warning you now. If not, I'll take away that man from you. From now, leave me and him to enjoy ourselves. I read it. Nobody said they say. The woman ran to me and said, see what is there? Because I know the pastor. So while she was with me in my house, I phoned him. I said, are they read text when Linda sent to your wife? I said, are you aware? He said, shame on you. I said, shame on you. That you descend to that level and you claim to be a pastor. I said, it's a shame on you. He was trying to defend himself. I cut off the phone. He ran to my house. I said, what? How are you relating to that woman that gave her the audacity to address your wife like that? Hallelujah. Now your girlfriend. I tell her, now your girlfriend is a shame. You're going to hell. You're a hypocrite pastor. That's what I was telling him. I said, and then don't call my name. Don't say you know me. I said, I'm a fornicator. And fornicators cannot be my friend. Praise the Lord. That is the church of Jesus Christ for you. Sister has scattered marriage of pastor and his wife in the church of Jesus Christ. And that sister is one of the gifted sisters speaking in tongues every time. She's in the choir, very wonderful voice. Oh my. That is what the church of Jesus Christ has been reduced to. I know of a pastor that sent away his wife and married a sister in the church. Why? She said the Lord told me that I'm supposed to marry a virgin. So I discovered this one, where I'm married, not been virgin, and I want to be in the will of God. So I told her to go. Serpent seed. You see why we say serpent seed? There are, I know one enter message, pastor. At Sapele, Florence, now your pastor. Sorry. Sorry. You don't know, say, you don't marry second wife. You don't marry second wife. Pastor. Your pastor for
Yes, from Akwanga. He married, he has two wives now. End time message.
Yes,
two wives. My pastor.
My pastor. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now I just want you to know the rot that is in Christianity. People will stand up and say, God will say when God didn't say. Thus said the Lord when God didn't say anything. Sit down and dupe the children of God in the name of their father. So that is the mystery of iniquity. That is what happened in the Garden of Eden. And that is what is happening in Christianity. And the Bible says, let the two groups grow together. At the end time, he will send his reapers, angels, that will come and gather. And I told you something. Amen. That is the message I preached titled The Spirit of Delusion. Yes. I don't want to go into that now. But the reapers are at work now. The reapers, they are at work now. I'm telling you. So, a few years ago, when some people were calling T.B. Joshua that he's of the devil, I say, you don't know your Bible, nothing. Those pastors that call him of the devil, T.B. Joshua is not of the devil. He's a reaper. He's sent from God. T.B. Joshua has been sent from God. Oyakhilome has been sent from God. The anointing is from God. Mwaka is sent from God. Yes, Adeboye is sent from God. Oyedepo is sent from God. Every Pastor Moses is sent from God. All of us are end time reapers, gathering one group or the other. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Stop calling any anointing, occultic anointing, until you are sure. Because he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter, can I say it? 2 Thessalonians, read it, chapter 2. Yes, stand up if you see it. Yes, read it. Read from verse 11.
Now, for this cause, God shall...
Okay. Just go to verse 7.
For the mystery of iniquity doth already work.
The mystery of iniquity at that time was already at work.
Only he who letteth will let.
Yes.
Until he be taken out of the way.
That is the Holy Ghost.
And then shall that wicked one be revealed.
Be revealed.
Whom Antichrist. The Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth.
That's the Antichrist, yes.
And shall destroy with the brightness of his coming.
Uh-huh.
Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan.
Yes.
With all powers and signs and lying wonders.
Uh-huh.
And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish.
In them that perish. Uh-huh.
Because they receive not the love of the truth.
Because this group of people have not received not the love of truth.
That they might be saved.
So that they can be saved.
For this cause.
For this reason.
God shall send them strong.
Because they refuse truth. For this reason, God will send them what?
Strong delusion.
Strong delusion. Uh-huh.
That they should believe a lie.
So that they will believe a lie. Uh-huh.
That they all might be damned.
So that they will all be condemned.
Who believe not the truth.
Who don't love truth.
But have pleasure in
They have pleasure in unrighteousness. Because this group of people want to go to church. They want to serve God their own way. No matter how you tell them the truth. The Holy Ghost will not want his children to palm their hair, wear those jewelries, wear trousers, sisters. Eh? Because they, we say, you know, everything about God's righteousness, we tell them, people just want to go to church and add Jesus on top and say they are Christians. No matter how you tell them, they come right assembly. They hear us, they say we are judgmental. They hear us, they say we are judgmental. Hey, take it easy. This man, don't talk. Don't talk anyhow. You know, in these days, praise the Lord. Can't you see that there's something unique about this man? In this age, that everybody, the love for money has made people to lower the gospel. People are not looking for membership. The kind of message I preach, am I looking for member? Do you understand? Can't you see that this man, Bill, say, he come from somewhere. Oh, you think I don't like money? Who don't like money? I don't like poverty. I hate poverty. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And for your information, I'm not a signatory to this church account. Hey, did you want to worry me? Pass, go and count money. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. He said he will send them strong delusion to make them believe a lie. What is the delusion that he will give to make people believe a lie? Is gift, anointing. So the more you see the anointing, you think because the anointing is flowing, God is with him. Then when he displayed the miracle signs and wonders, what is he saying? Lies! He's saying something, but he's saying lies. And those people are believing the lies. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Then they're saying, ride on! Then you say, take it! Ooh, wow! They fall down and say, God, that guy is a mighty man of God. And you don't know that he's gathering you somewhere! Idol worshippers, they have their reapers. There are people that are idol worshippers. Yes. There are people that don't want to serve God beyond just, you know, once they see any small grace in your life. Hey, prophet, even for this church, there are some people that have been in this church for 5 years, they never enter my office. Because I know the prophet. But all the prophets, they know their phone number, their house address, their offices, they know their itinerary from morning to night. At any given time, they know where they are. But me here, my second name self, they don't know him. That's the truth. That's the kind of Christianity that is going on now. The thing that will give you eternal life, no. But the one that will satisfy the flesh, they will do everything and pursue it. Oh, I've spoken too much. This sister don't stand too much. Eh? I think I've answered your question. God bless you.
Praise the Lord, church.
Yes.
Pastor, I really appreciate your teaching.
Thank you very much.
My question is this. You are talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Baptism of the Holy Ghost, yes.
So my question is this. If somebody is in a point of death and the person is not born again, and in that point of death, he prayed and asked God for forgiveness, that God should forgive him, that he should be among those that will be in heaven. If that person dies, is he going to be in heaven?
No, you go without, ask. You go without, ask God now.
Without.
Now God, you go ask. I am not after the dead, I am after the living. But it is appointed unto man once to die. After that, what? So you go ask God. This one where he died, the time where the... He will give his life to Christ. The time where he did die. Where he did. But I have told you, you are a Christian because you have the Holy Ghost. If at the point of his death, he received the Holy Ghost, he will be in heaven. God bless you.
So my question is this. You are talking about the baptism that most churches don't baptize very right. That because of the reputation of the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. My question goes this way. If one is not baptized right, based on what you have been teaching, is it going to deprive that person from going to heaven? or from receiving the Holy Ghost.
Why did Jesus Christ go to the cross on Calvary?
To die for our sins.
To pay the price.
We did not pay.
With his blood. The blood of Jesus Christ washed away our sins. Do you believe it? Yes. If you believe it, evidence you believe, you go and be baptized. The baptism is you coming under that blood. Identifying with that blood. And when you enter that water, you come out. The sin that separated you from God is remitted. So, if you did not do it correctly, your sins are with you. Therefore, you remain separated from God here and hereafter.
Then how we won't know that he did not do it correctly? How we won't know that he was not baptized correctly?
Two ways. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Two ways. Number one, 2 Timothy 2 verse 15. Study. You are to study. Study the Bible. You will see how others baptize. You too. Go and baptize like that. And secondly, receive the Holy Ghost. If you have received the Holy Ghost and it's a genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost, he will lead you to Bride Assembly.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He will lead you to all truth. And there's truth in Bride Assembly. And come here every Tuesday. We baptize hundreds. Every time. Hundreds we baptize. Every week here. People who hear us travel as. See, these people came from Ireland to be baptized. They came from Europe to be baptized. People come from Onitsha, Port Harcourt to be baptized. Amen.
Praise God.
God bless.
Pastor, please, one more question. What of the people that are not privileged to be here to know about this teaching? Are they going
it's
to
not only baptized? Here we baptize correctly. There are other places. God will lead you where you'll be baptized if your name is in the book of life.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Yes, brother.
Pastor, God bless you.
Thank you. Make another person not stand up again, though. This one's done, too. Let's go into action.
Praise God, church. Please, my question is about this thing we write in, we wrote on this place, Revelation 10:7. What I want to ask on that part concerning this thing, not that I don't know, I've not heard about William Branham message, I heard, and God vindicated his ministry. Now, we are told that William Branham fulfilled that Revelation 10:7. The problem I'm having with it is, if you check Revelation 10:7, it was the sounding of the trumpets by seven angels. By seven angels, Revelation chapter 8, going down. Because if you check Revelation 1 verse 20, that's when we are talking about the seven star that are in the right hand of Christ, which represent the seven star messengers.
Praise the Lord. Revelation chapter 8 has seven angels with vials.
Yes.
There are seven vile angels. They are different from the God's seven stars that are in the right hand of Jesus Christ, Revelation chapter 1, verse 16.
Okay.
Now, the vials are God's judgment upon the earth, otherwise known as the day of the Lord.
Okay.
Okay. Now, the key you have that the seventh angel in Revelation chapter 8, the seventh vile angel, is different from the angel referred to in Revelation chapter 10 verse 7 is because Revelation chapter 10 verse 1 to verse 6 speaks of the end of the intercessory ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay.
The mediatory ministry. Because there, that archangel there is the Lord Jesus Christ standing up from the mercy seat and lifting up his hand and swearing that there should be time
no longer.
And that time is the Gentile time, the time given to the Gentiles for salvation. And the second key there for you to see is that He says, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, he said, the mystery of God, the word there is mystery, one mystery of God should be finished. It will be rounding up. Which mystery? Ephesians chapter 3, Apostle Paul explained, the mystery there is the salvation of the Gentiles. Now, the salvation of the Gentiles ends with the rapture. And the last angel that manifests to gather the people home is the seventh angel. And that's why he said that in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, because that voice is the midnight cry in Matthew 25 verse 6 and the shout in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16. It is the same ministry, that voice. It is a message calling out the people out, preparing them to go home because it is time no longer.
I get it. Now, if that Revelation 10:7 is not referring to the angels that sounded the trumpet for the vows. Now, if you check from Revelation from 8, coming down, you see how they sounded.
Yes.
And they are representing something that happened to the earth.
Yes.
I believe something that happened after the rapture or thereabouts.
Exactly.
Now, where will you get the sounding of the trumpets of the seventh angel? Because there were seven angels.
We are
in Revelation chapter 8. If you read from verse 7,
the
seventh angel of that seven.
See, there are seven trumpets. A trumpet is sounded. A vial is released. The vial there is God's judgment upon the earth. Yeah. From the cup, the wrath of cup. He releases it and the torment that the earth undergoes. Revelation chapter 8. Praise God. Revelation chapter 8 is fulfilled after the rapture. Don't miss it.
Yes.
Yeah, it's another key. Somebody want to add something?
Praise the Lord. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 31, he said, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. This is talking about the same angels, the seven angels, the seven stars in the Lord Jesus Christ's power.
You are an entire message believer.
I just came here for the first time. I believed when I came to this place.
You believed the message when you came here?
Yes.
Okay. Have you heard of any preacher by the name of Richard Gang?
No, I've not.
Okay. Go ahead. Let me not go further. Okay. Since you don't know him. Thank you. That's the explanation.
I have a second question.
Yes.
Second question is from 2 Peter 2 verse 4. The angels that rebelled against God, from that particular verse, they were put into chains and reserved until final judgment, according to that scripture. Then I want to know...
Which scripture?
2 Peter 2 verse 4.
Okay.
They were reserved in chains till final judgment.
Yes.
Are they different from the...
2 Peter 3 or 2?
I think 2.
3.
Okay, but you understand what I'm saying.
Okay, it's three. Yes.
Please, I want to know, are they different from the angels of Revelation 12 verse 4 and 9? The ones that drew, Satan drew one-third of the staff, which we know we are representing the angels. Is it the same group of angels?
You know, you are studying, and I like people who study. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The same angels, because that is the only battle we know of in the Bible.
Yes.
The same angels that, like Revelation chapter 12 mentioned, one third of those angels that follow him. I believe from my study that there were particular ones, whatever they did that time was so horrible that God decided, these ones, if I leave them go at, what did they go do? So, He kept them in chains. That is what Peter is saying. I believe they are from that same group of one thought.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Hey, sister.
Praise the Lord. My question is, most of my questions have been answered anyway.
Thank God.
But I still want to ask, the Bible says that a woman should not sub to authority. And I want to ask, and according to Genesis, he said a woman should be under, the cause he gave to a woman under the, in the garden of the Eden was that,
go ahead.
Was that the woman will be under her husband. And so I want to ask, if the man is the minister, I may be giving authority over the woman to minister, will she be allowed?
Amen. No man gives anybody ministry. It is the Holy Ghost that gives you ministry. And no man must play the position of the Holy Ghost. Every one of us, we have a part to play in the body of Christ when you come into the body. And any true pastor will recognize that and limit the function of any woman to what the Bible has ordained for that woman to function.
Okay. And my second question is all about fashion of the earrings and that of the rings and bangles. If that of the earrings and maybe that of the fashion of the wearing of the face paintings are condemned, and what about the finger, a kind of a token to a man to his wife, and that of a wife to his husband, as a ring, as a kind of something that bind them together? And that of the wristwatch, are they not made with the same, property?
Praise God. Now, listen. When the Bible says you should make your moderations known.
Okay.
Now, for everything we put on, there is a purpose for it. Now, when you put a wedding ring, it is a token. And it is a type, a spiritual type of it exists in the marriage between Christ and His church. Now, the same thing also, when you put a wristwatch, it is a timekeeper. So you are not wearing it for fashion. Do you understand? But when you take chain and tie for your leg here, tie one for your neck, put one chain for this hand, line up rings. There are some that pierce their nose and hang one there. Now you know that is fashion, and the Bible condemns it. Yes.
Hallelujah.
God bless
you. I want you to throw my light on this Godhead, three in one God, or three. I just don't understand anyway.
Are you a visitor in this church?
Oh yeah.
Today's your first time, or yeah?
Second time.
Eh?
Yeah, second time.
Oh yeah, second time. Hallelujah. Sorry, from which church do you come?
Church of God Mission.
Church of God Mission. Where you have the first woman archbishop in Africa.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Aren't you proud to have the first woman archbishop?
That is for her anyway.
Not for you. She's your bishop.
Oh, yes, she is.
Now you should be proud of your bishop.
I am proud of her.
That's why I say I'm joining you to be proud of her. Praise the Lord. Now listen, church. Praise God. The proper understanding of the Godhead. God is one, not three. There is nothing in the Bible that supports three personalities of God coming into one. No mathematics like that, mystery, spiritual, or physical. One plus one plus one can never be one. Now, but the truth is this. Concerning the salvation of man, it is God's own program. Now, he has a law to fulfill. The law of redemption. He gave it to the Jews. That law says, before you can redeem anybody, as a law in Israel, you must be next of kin to that person. That is, you must be related by blood. And the same thing also, God was going to apply it in redeeming man. Man fell. Man must redeem man according to the law of redemption. But the second law in that law of redemption is that you must, before you can redeem somebody, you yourself, you must be free. And no man was free. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says so. Therefore, who will he use? It has to be a man that is free of the curse that is upon man. Therefore, he himself built himself a body. Praise the Lord. And bypassed the route that every other human being came through the virgin birth. Therefore, that son, that body that he built was his own temple that he was going to be in. Do you have Bible? Can you open it? Hebrew chapter 2. Open Hebrew chapter 2. Somebody help us read it. If you see it, just somebody's up there. From verse 14.
I'm reading Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood.
As much then as we, his children, God's children, are partakers of flesh and blood.
He also himself likewise took part of the same.
He, God himself, decided to come and also take part of flesh and blood.
That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death.
So who was Jesus Christ? Who was Jesus Christ? It was God in the flesh.
In other words, if he was the... I'm sorry.
Wait. Hallelujah. No, I want to give you a picture. So that you know who Jesus is. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ came concerning his priesthood. He came in the order of who? Melchizedek. Hebrews chapter 6 and chapter 7 say so. Hallelujah. And who is Melchizedek? Open it. Open. Hebrews chapter 7. Okay, go on.
Hebrews 7.
Yes.
From verse 1.
For this Melchizedek that Abraham met, we all know about it, yes?
King of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham, returning from the slaughter of the king, and blessed him,
yes?
To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. First, being by interpretation, king of righteousness.
Yes.
And after that, also king of Salem.
Yes.
Which is king of peace.
Yes.
Without father, without mother.
This Melchizedek has no father. Has no mother.
Without descent. Having neither beginning nor end.
He has no lineage. That is, you won't say na Igbo man. Maybe. All this is what they sing Igbo song every time. He's not an Igbo man. He has no descent.
Nor end of life.
He has no beginning of life. That is, he has no beginning of life. He has no birth date. Yes?
But made
he
life.
He has no end.
But made
no,
life.
No, I want her to understand. I'm stressing this. Okay? He has no beginning of days. He has no birth date. And he has no day that he will die. Hallelujah. So Abraham met Melchizedek, a priest, on his way. Who did Abraham meet? Who did he meet? God. And Jesus Christ came in the order, the priesthood of Melchizedek. That is, his own priesthood was unending. But where I am going, our time don't go. I want to talk about Holy Ghost, then we pray. Now, sister, because our time is gone, I was going too far. The truth is this. The true revelation of the Godhead is the Son of Jesus Christ. I mean, the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son, was God in a man for the purpose of paying the price of redemption. When he finished paying the price of redemption, he went back to what he has always been. He is the Spirit. Now, first and foremost, maybe we start with the Father. God is the Father because he is in creation. He is the Father of all creation. Father above us. He came in his Son. He came in his Son. And then after he paid the price of redemption, he went back to come back, the same Spirit that is the Father that came in the Son, now to come and live in us, that he has removed them away to give them to you. Regeneration. It is not three persons in one God, but one God manifesting in three offices. Thank you. Just in summary. It was handwriting on the wall. It was a sign.
One more stop. Forever you are stop.
Everything we receive from God is by faith. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord.
Spirit
of delusion.
They told me it doesn't matter. It matters.
There is yet another day that is his mercy is still available.
The trials of the Christian.
Christians face trials.
The God of this world cannot be our God because we are in this world but not of this world.
Amen. Now, yesterday, we looked at certain key topics relating to why we are here. Amen. Hallelujah. And we looked at the fact that only God's elect. We tried to look at, dissected. Why Apostle Peter said we should keep diligence to make our calling and election sure. That's what we stressed yesterday. And then the final stage of your salvation is when he said, whom he justified, them he glorified. And we said the glorification there is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I want to tell you how to receive the Holy Ghost. That's the next thing I should just summarize. And then we continue from where we stop in the ministration. First, as it happened, you can receive the Holy Ghost before water baptism. Amen. can receive the Holy Ghost also anywhere. Anywhere. You can receive the Holy Ghost in your bedroom. You can receive the Holy Ghost in any church. You can receive the Holy Ghost even in a vehicle, in a bus. Anywhere you can receive the Holy Ghost. While Peter here spake in Acts chapter 10 from verse 44, in the house of Cornelius, the Holy Ghost came down. So, your heart is open wide enough. There's a way you connect that when the word of God is being spoken, because it is a seed, it strikes on your spirit man, you can receive the Holy Ghost. Something is ignited. And in this church, several times, we have seen that happen. While the message is going on, something will suddenly happen to you that changes your spiritual life forever. In Acts chapter 8 from verse 14, Philip also went after preaching and baptizing them at Samaria. He sent for the apostles. Other apostles, they came down. They laid hands on the people. Acts chapter 19, also Apostle Paul laid hands on the people and they received the Holy Ghost. You receive the Holy Ghost as we lay hands on you. And even today, ministers, we go around and lay hands on as many as the Lord will lead them to. And you can receive the Holy Ghost by praying for it, by asking. In Luke chapter 11, verse 13, he says, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him? If you ask for the Holy Ghost, he will give you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Especially when it goes with desperation. Anything you come to God for with desperate heart, you will receive it. The psalmist was looking for God like that too in Psalm 42. He said, as the heart panted after the water brooks, so panted my heart unto thee, O Lord. Amen. When he speaks like that, he's using an analogy of that animal that once the hunter fires it, shoots it, you begin to bleed. Life is going out as blood is going out. You begin to run. Because the nature of that animal is such that if it's bleeding and it can get water and drink, the bleeding will stop and he will not die. So knowing that he's bleeding, imagine the desperation. How you'll be running, that animal will be running to look for water. And the psalmist was saying, his own search for God. He needed God at that moment so much. It was as desperate as that heart. You know, just desperate after the water brooks. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And it will take somebody who knows the importance of the Holy Ghost to be that desperate. And I'm telling you that you need to be desperate because this world will soon fold up. This rapture will soon strike. And that is the only criteria, the only visa you have to go in the rapture is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, we say you have received, but what is the evidence that I have received the Holy Ghost? Amen. What is the evidence that I have received the Holy Ghost? Now, I am narrowing it to the experience that we're supposed to have here now. After today, there are messages that follow such a program. And I expect our teachers here and all our preachers here to begin to know what to put together after such a program. The message changes. The people have to know what they have received, what is expected of them. But for now, how will I know when I have received the Holy Ghost? That's the evidence that I have received. The practical. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are we there? Let me read it from verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts by the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations by the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit without. Now, I get the key from there. If you can listen, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Three keywords there: administration, manifestation, and operation. Different administration, different manifestations, different operations. Concerning what we are doing here now, hallelujah. When you talk about the administration of the Spirit, administration of the gift, there, remember that the gift here is the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a gift. Because Peter in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, he said, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, eternal life, is a gift. You don't buy it. You don't work for it. It's a gift. Now, there is the administration of this gift of the Holy Ghost. The administration there is, when you say, Lord, give me the Holy Ghost, how God administers that gift into you. He said, different administrations, but the same Spirit. Because four of you sitting down here now, stand up and say, Lord, give me the Holy Ghost. If I say, receive the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus, you will shout, Amen. But the way that God will administer that to you may be different from the way He will administer it to you. May be different from the way that He will administer it to you. So, different administration, but the same Spirit. That's what Apostle Paul is teaching. And you have to know that the symbol, because so many of us, when the Holy Ghost is coming, He comes, He reveals Himself first in a symbol. And after that, certain things begin to happen to you. Hallelujah. Sometimes somebody receives the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus, you will see a light. A light will just fly, wow! And sometimes you will know what happened again. The next thing is you recover with your cloth the tip for here. Amen. Hallelujah. And then some will see fire. Fire will just appear like that. Wah! Real fire, like it happened on the day of Pentecost. It was fire. Amen. And sometimes we hear one loud sound, like it happened on the day of Pentecost, like a mighty rushing wind came into the room, and fire broke forth like that on people's head. Please let those brethren come inside. Let them come inside, because they must hear me. Now, there are symbols of the Holy Ghost, I was saying. Sometimes the Holy Ghost appearing to you will come like a dove. You come like a dove. Some of you will see dove. Some see the eagle. He also appears as eagle. Like fire. It comes, you see water. You just think that rain is falling. They all symbolize that. Rain. As if rain is falling like that. Sometimes you see oil. Somebody will feel as if they pour oil on your head. And so you sometimes even use your hand to do like this. And after that, you know, certain things begin to take place. And sometimes something like a star, you see that, or a cloud, or a rainbow. They are all manifestation. Hallelujah. Sometimes it comes to you like the lion of the tribe of Judah, you will see a lion. Or you see a lamb, a small lamb like that. And sometimes it may appear also like a cross. You see the symbol of a cross standing before you. Sometimes it comes like that and enter into you. Amen. And sometimes you hear like a thunder blast, brah, like that. By the time you turn to see, what happened? A lightning, you just see a lightning, brah, like that. Sometimes you see a sword standing before you. Some will see a horse stand before you. And sometimes it will stand before you like a man, like an angel. And sometimes you see the hand of a man touching you. When he touch you like this, you say, who touched me? It is a symbol of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And concerning administration, also, sometimes you will feel a current pass through you when you are receiving it. When you are receiving it, current will just pass through. Like that. It's an administration of the Spirit. And sometimes life goes out. You just collapse. Like that. Amen. Amen. And sometimes you feel the throat. Your throat. A movement in the throat or your stomach as if it wants to empty. As if you want to vomit. When he wants to give you the Holy Ghost. Some will feel headache. Serious headache. Just one unusual headache will just come like that. Hallelujah. Some will just feel fire all over you. Fire. Fire sensation all over you. It will stop after some time. Amen. That is the administration of the Spirit. And some also, you just see yourself arrested in one place. Bam. Move now, you can't move. Come forward, you can't. You just stand. You try to move, you can't. You just as if they pin you down there. Now, these are things that happen. Amen. All these. It's the administration. When these things happen, most of this administration is only you that know that something has happened to you. Now, William Branham also added when the Pentecostals were over exaggerating sensation. Kai, give that my Holy Ghost push. Praise the Lord. Uh-huh. Administration, only you will know. Now, when the Pentecostals, we are going into sensation, God used William Branham to also point our attention to another manifestation of the Spirit, the administration of the Spirit. He said that is receiving the Holy Ghost without sensation. Amen. The person looking at you will not know anything has happened to you. But you will know, that is, you will find a peace that will just sweep over you. You didn't fall under anointing, you didn't shake, you didn't, just peace will just flow like that. Hallelujah. Part of the manifestation also, I mean the administration of the Spirit when it comes upon you, amen, is you see tears coming out of your eyes. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Okay. Well, whether tears or otherwise, now that is administration. Praise the Lord. Then we have the operation of the Holy Ghost. The operation of the Holy Ghost here, that is the one that anybody looking at you will say you have received the Holy Ghost. The person now looking at you. Administration, you may be the only one that we know something happened to you. But now, the operation of the Holy Ghost now is now the Holy Ghost that you have received now doing something inside of you so much that somebody looking at you can point and say, you have received something. You have received the Holy Ghost. In the whole of the New Testament, it was speaking in tongue. Speaking in tongue is the operation. It's an operation of the Holy Ghost. And it is different, you know, operations, but the same Spirit. And then, while Peter here spake, the Holy Ghost came on Cornelius and his household. How did Peter know that they have received the Holy Ghost? They began to speak in tongues. It was an operation of the Holy Ghost. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But as time went on in church history, there are other operations apart from speaking in tongue. So that's why when they say speaking in tongue is the evidence of the Holy Ghost, we say yes, but with a caveat to it. Be careful when you say the evidence of the Holy Ghost. We are talking about evidence that you have received something. You will speak in tongue. Even today, people will speak in tongue. Yesterday, some people spoke in tongue. How many people who had that experience? Wave your hand yesterday. For the first time you were speaking in tongue. Yes? You see it? And then, some now, you just have as if you are drunk. On the day of Pentecost, the people saw them and thought they were drunk. You'll be having this drunken feeling, be walking and pushing everybody as if, you know, you are drunk. Some will just be slain in the spirit. You just fall down like that. Some, like I said, again, tears will flow. They can see the tears. It is also an operation of the Holy Ghost. Some will be dancing in the spirit. You will dance. Dance. And some will be shouting. So your body will be vibrating, quaking and shaking like that. And some goose pimples will just come out of your skin. As if, you know what is goose pimple? Different operations, but the same Spirit. Now, verse 7 says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone to profit without. That manifestation is the gift that follows when you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost now that lives in you now manifesting himself. The Holy Ghost manifested through the gifts because he comes now to work his work in the church. And those manifestations, they are those 9 spiritual gifts. They are the 9 spiritual gifts. We have the word of wisdom. The Bible also call it, the manifestation is called gift. It's also call it, Luke 19 says, talents. They are the talents that he gives you. Why does he say you are to profit with it? You are to profit with it, not as our pastor Yedekwa was teaching yesterday. No, that is not that type of profit. The profit there is, if you follow that parable of the talent, amen. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10 says, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. After the rapture, every one of us born again, we will stand before Christ and we will tell him what we did with the gifts that he gave us. He gave some 5 talents, some 10 talents, some 1. Yes, out of these 9 spiritual gifts, some may operate 2, 3, 5. Some, like that. One person can operate many of them, multiple of them. But For everyone you gift that he has given you, what you did with it, man or woman, we are going to stand to give account. And that is it. And then you will be rewarded for it. You are to profit with it. You are to use it to win souls to the kingdom. Hallelujah. You are to use it for the furtherance of the gospel. You are to use it for the edification of the body. You are to use it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And if you choose to use it for any negative thing, God will not take the gift away from you. He will wait for the day that you will appear before him. And that is why it is dangerous to have a gift and not to use it. Because you will give account of that gift when we come before the judgment seat of Christ. You see how important it is. That's why we say, the church that you have and does not allow you to use your gift, that is dangerous. Get out of that church, because that church is cheating you of a reward that is awaiting all of us that we use these gifts. Man or woman. So we have the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom is to solve problems in the church. Word of knowledge. Three of them. Word of knowledge. Four of them. We have what? Dream. It's a word of knowledge. Word of knowledge is ability to know something. Amen. So we have dream. We have vision. We have audible voice. And we have that inspiration from within. It comes like a thought. It's all under the word of knowledge. You will notice that in Joel chapter 2 verse 28, he says, your sons are your daughter when you will pour his spirit upon all flesh. That was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. The prophecy there says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see vision. Amen. Your young men, they shall see vision. But you will notice that there are others that we are not mentioned there. Apostle Paul compressed it to say it is the word of knowledge. Praise the Lord. We have faith. The gifts of healing. Working of miracles. Prophecy. They are the manifestation of the Spirit. Prophecies. Discernment of spirits. Diverse kinds of tongues. And the last one, interpretation of tongues. Discernment of spirit. Every pastor should desire to have that gift. Especially if there are gifts manifesting in your church. If you are a pastor, pray. So that when, by the grace of God upon me, when a demon is speaking, he lets me know this is not the Holy Ghost. That is that gift there. You see, it's not every prophecy I receive and I give out. Even when you are prophesying, before we give you microphone, I will be in the spirit to connect. There is a way he lets me know. And if I don't connect, you're not going to take microphone. And even if you are prophesying by the spirit, and the spirit has finished talking, and now you can't continue to talk, I will know. Say, this will not be God again, no. Are you the talker now? Praise the Lord. That is what the discernment of spirit is to. Amen. And today, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Today, all this will manifest. Every gift you have, your church has silenced it. Today, it will be revived. That is the purpose of this program. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But also note that all these manifestations can be impersonated by the devil. That's why I say we need this gift of discernment. Hallelujah. And I also want you to know that you may experience this yet not be converted. We'll prove that in subsequent messages. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But for today, I want to limit myself to those that God has ordained to receive. This is how you will receive. Amen. I can't take any question because time has gone. But watch it. Some people, you will feel fire. When we say receive the Holy Ghost, fire sensation all over you. Your body will shake. Some will just burst out and begin to speak in tongues. And those that the eye, the devil has closed that eye, they don't see vision again. You will see fire on your eye, removing that covering, rearranging your spiritual sight again. You will feel fire. You see some people shouting, fire, fire, your eye. And your ear that was blocked, you used to hear an angel will be speaking to you, hear voice telling you things. But for some time it has stopped. Today, they will do an operation there. You will know that your ear is receiving cleaning. And somebody for the first time, you will experience something you have never experienced before. And anything you begin to experience, don't be afraid in this atmosphere. And when the Holy Ghost is coming, you are going to be his temple. If there is any demon living inside that temple, praise the Lord. It is time for deliverance. Any serpent that enter, he will chase it out. Amen. Including healing. Any sickness inside your body will disappear. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody's spiritual life will be rearranged. I don't finish. Let's go into action. Has made herself.